is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. Make sure to check out VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state. We've got the betting tools and the betting guides. It's all up there. Best website when it comes to sports betting. Check out VSiN.com. It's great on the phone as well. As we welcome you back on the program, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Breaking news, so we should go there right now. It is official. Now, yesterday, the Detroit Pistons ate $65 million to get rid of Monty Williams. Immediately, the conversation began, is Monty Williams going to be a candidate for the Lakers job? If the Lakers want to lose, so that's not it. And then, all of a sudden, J.J. Redick with an opening. Of course, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers with an opening. They have yet to... Borrego seems to be a name that's floating around. Remember the old Charlotte head coach. But now we have a Pistons opening, and we have a Laker opening. Leverage is important in business, so there was some conversations about J.J. Redick becoming the Detroit Pistons head coach. I can guarantee you that's not happening because ESPN sources are reporting J.J. Redick has agreed on a four-year contract to become the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Rob Pelinka offered the It says Rob Pelinka, but I'll just clarify a little editing. LeBron James offered the job this morning, and Redick started working on a staff to surround himself with experience. So LeBron James has hired his podcast host and partner, J.J. Redick, to become the next head coach of one of the storied franchises in all of sport, the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, there's three. That's the Knicks, the Celtics, and Lakers, and you go on to everybody else. I'll say this. The conversation that was happening around speculation of Redick being hired by the Pistons, let me be very clear. No other team wants J.J. Redick to coach them. Like, that's not even on the realm of possibilities. Like, he is not a coaching candidate. He is a friend of LeBron James. Now, he's interviewed for jobs before, and of course, he was eventually going to get one, but it wasn't going to be anybody but the Lakers. We've talked about this. Dan Hurley used the Lakers, leverage, then went on a media tour that would make Ryan Gosling blush after a movie comes out, and now Dan Hurley's sticking around at UConn. Redick, back burner, is now the Lakers head coach, Dustin.
Yeah, look, is the Lakers job as coveted as people think it is? I understand you have LeBron James. I understand that you have Anthony Davis. And I understand they won a championship a few years ago in the bubble. And I'm not diminishing that. But LeBron James at 39 is a lot different than LeBron James when he first got to Los Angeles. Also, the pressure that comes with this job is so unjust. You're still in the Western Conference where there's so many younger, stronger teams than the Lakers have right now. And the reality is Laker fans and being the head coach of that organization leads to a different set of pressure than you'd face anywhere else. I'm not going to take anything away from J.J. Redick, but I will say there's a reason guys like Ty Lue were very quick when their names were brought up to make sure that they re-upped with the Clippers. There's a reason why a lot of names that you thought might have been in the mix for this job were not. And I know LeBron plays a role in choosing it, but I don't think the Lakers' job is as great a job as it used to be, is my greater point here.
Yeah, well, it's not currently, as it's presented, it's not a very good job because you have to deal with a 40-year-old LeBron James. Yes. And a roster construct that's very top heavy with a ton of money going to James. He's going to opt in. They'll extend him now. They just gave all of us more reason to understand that he's running the franchise for the next 3 or 4 years. You got Anthony Davis. You got those two making a ton of cash. You don't really have many parts that you can move to get flexible. Like, there's been some conversations about Trae Young potentially landing with the Lakers. But like, you've got my neighbor. And why is his name slipping my mind right now? You've got my neighbor.
Klay Thompson?
Help me, Dustin.
Klay Thompson.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you because my earpiece is out. I'll pretend like I know what you're
Klay
talking
Thompson.
About.
Klay Thompson.
Yes, exactly. Austin Reeves. And then D'Lo. Oh, yeah. And maybe Hachimura is a piece, but that's all they have. So there's not a ton of flexibility. So to your point, you know, LeBron brings in his guy. Maybe you find some magic in a bottle, because to be honest with you, it's not a great job right now, specifically when you're talking about the West, and the West is loaded. There's a reason the Celtics are so short over at DraftKings, got all the way down to 2.5-1 to win a championship next year, because it's a cakewalk through the East. So it's just about winning in the finals.
Yeah, and for J.J. Redick, he wants to be a head coach. How bad does he want to be a head coach? You mentioned no one else was really interested in him, but to me, if he really wanted to be a head coach, you can truly be that somewhere else. You could have been there in Charlotte where they chose someone else. Could be there in Detroit with whoever they choose. You mentioned Cleveland still open. He could have been more of a head coach. How much coaching is he going to be really doing as the head coach of the Lakers? We've talked about it for the last few weeks. No matter what you do, if you're in an organization where LeBron James is there, he is the coach, he is the general manager, he is in charge of everything you do top to bottom. So I just question, J.J. Redick wants to be a head coach. He could have proven his abilities as a head coach somewhere else. Instead, he'll never really get credit if things go well for the Lakers, because he's not really the head coach.
Yeah, 100%. It's LeBron running the show. Your notion of him being a player coach was probably the only other option besides hiring J.J. Redick. There's a reason that LeBron was oddly quiet during the Hurt. Now, Hurtley did say he texted him, but there's a reason LeBron, you didn't hear from LeBron's team. You didn't hear from it. All the concerted focus was Bronny James, because Bronny James is going to be, he's not even working out for teams. He's going to be drafted by the Lakers. And so the idea that LeBron wasn't involved today, we just learned what we've always known, and that is he has autonomy. I still believe that the Hurley move was a chance to take the power back by Pelinka and Buss, who owns the Lakers. It went through. They got used by Hurley. This is my posit. They got used by Hurley. LeBron sat back in the weeds. It turned out perfectly, and he hired a podcast host.
Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned Bronny. Bronny is the favorite over at or the Lakers are the favorite over at DraftKings to draft Bronny James at +115. The Suns are the second shot on the board at +650, and everyone else is 9-1 or higher. The Mavericks are one that I saw being thrown around as a team where people would call LeBron's bluff and maybe get him to leave the Lakers. No, there's no leaving the Lakers. They just hired J.J. Redick. They're making sure the Lakers now, after plan A with Hurley failed, they're making sure now LeBron's going to stay happy in his final seasons with Los Angeles by hiring J.J. Redick here.
There you have it. All right, so breaking news here on Sharp Money and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. J.J. Redick is going to be the next head coach. And then LeBron will ultimately get rid of him, and then it's going to make the podcast awkward.
Yeah. Also, one more note in this. There is a war being waged on the interwebs. And I'd like to just point out once again, this is another victory for Shams. Shams versus Woj has been the battle for a long time now. And it seems as though the power has shifted. And Shams was calling this for a while. Hurley and Woj came in a few weeks ago and upset things. But in the end, it looks like Shams gets another W.
Yeah, petty wars, right? The pettiness. Shams and Woj are engaged in a very petty battle, and I'm against both of them. That's what I would like to say. I don't care about either of them. It's so beyond anything for adults to be acting that way on social media. I understand it's tied to their vocation and credibility, but it's annoying.
Well, I mean, what is the essence of it? The essence is that narcs within these organizations are reaching out to use them and their outlets on social media to put information out there to either get feelers, to manipulate markets, and to make moves in like this underworld of the interwebs, right? Like, it's pretty shady business. Their whole business model is we report other people's text messages.
Correct. Okay, so there it is. We'll move on from it. There's not much. J.J. Redick, the next head coach for the Los Angeles Lakers. We have another family play to make coming up. 12:37, Royals A's. And this is what I was hoping for when I woke up this morning. We got a little bit of a respite. By the way, the Dodgers up 1-0, top two. So a nice little start for the $2 favorite. When I woke up this morning, I'm like, we don't have any basketball. We only have 9 games in Major League Baseball. The hockey's not till tomorrow. I said, please, Lord, give us Royals A's. And he delivered.
or she delivered, because we have Royals A's, which is what you hope for, to be honest. Now, as we go to break, here's what I would like to tell you. Great job. We have good chemistry, but we just did 12 minutes on television and radio when I can't hear you.
It's pretty
I don't
wild.
Know what you said, and I see you laughing, but I can't. There's nothing coming back, so I don't know what you said over the last 12 minutes. My assumption is you're going to text me. You killed it.
We did it!
You definitely did it. He killed it. He's got nothing. He's got
nothing. I'm literally trying to read your lips, and you look nervous.
I'm not.
But I'm going to do my best to get my Ken on during the break and fix this issue. Because whether you're miming to me or talking to me, what I do know is we just had a conversation about J.J. Redick as the next Los Angeles Lakers head coach. And my assumption is you were talking about that as well.
Yeah, no, we did that. We nailed it. And we're on the same page somehow, which is really crazy considering you can't hear me right now. That's great. I'll send us a break then. I hear the music. We'll be good when we return. Maybe Patrick will be able to hear me. Maybe he won't. We will have a bet in this Royals A's game, though. That's next on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. 105 first pitch with the Orioles and Yankees. So we're going to start there, then we'll get into some fun with Josh Applebaum. Of course, VSiN betting analyst, a Sharp report over at VSiN.com. Lit. All Systems Go is the podcast. Download it wherever you get your podcasts. At Josh_insights. On X. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Progressive Guest Line brings you Josh Applebaum. It's cracking.
What's going on, Patrick? What's going on, Dustin? I got to ask you a question to start. Oof. Celtics championship parade tomorrow starts around 10 a.m. If you want to pregame it, maybe you have some, a couple beers with your breakfast. But Patrick, I'm 37 years old. I have a big weekend upcoming. I have my buddy getting married on Sunday. So do I go to the parade and tie one on? Does that maybe negate or hurt my weekend upcoming, or do I just get blackout drunk for the next 4 days, go to the parade, do the pod from Causeway Street? What would you guys do if you're in my
position? Easy, Applebaum, with the blackout. Here's what we'll do. I have plenty to say about that. We have three bets that we're making over the program, right? We've got the Dodgers, who are up 5-0. We went over 11.5 in that one. Dustin, with the Royals and A's, what'd we take there?
We went Seth Lugo under 18.5 outs recorded. He's kind of cruising through the first two so far.
And now, Josh, you are going to tell us what I'm going to be betting on, Orioles, Yankees in just 4 minutes. And the rest of the crew is going to ride with us as well. What are we doing, bro?
So, Patrick, even though I'm a Sox fan, I'm going to go Yankees in this one. I'm going to go Bronx Bombers just because it seems really fishy. You have two really good teams going head-to-head, battling for first place in the American League East, battling for best record in baseball here, yet Yankees are all the way up to a minus 165 home favorite. We actually opened this game, Patrick, Yankees as low as minus 130, minus 140. So one thing that I love, really regardless of the sport, especially moneyline sports, though, because in spread sports, it's huge steam move, key numbers. You can actually be on the sharp side but lose if you chase the steam and are late. Moneyline play situation here, even though the line's getting worse, I think it's a good sign for New York, the fact that the Yankees have risen so far off the opener. There's been no buyback whatsoever. It's not like this line got to, you know, Orioles plus 140. Sharp said, hey, Orioles, great value getting plus money. Let's hit Orioles, bring it back down. No, this has been toward New York from the start with no let up whatsoever. Right now, Yankees are getting around 80% of moneyline bets, nearly 90% of moneyline dollars at VSiN.com, coming directly from DraftKings here. So a bit of both a pro and Joe bet split, one-way movement here in favor of New York. And Patrick, I'm going to put a lot into this pitching matchup here. Now, Cole Irvin is on the bump for the Orioles. He's actually been pretty good. Remember, he was with the Oakland A's a few years ago. He's 6-3, 3.03 ERA, pretty good numbers. But Luis Gil, it's not Gil, it's Gil, Patrick. He has been great. 9-1, 2.03 ERA. In the month of June, he's had only given up 4 earned runs in 12 innings pitched. He has a 1.58 ERA at home. Heel, by the way, is your favorite now to win the American League Rookie of the Year, minus 165. Next guy closest to him would be Mason Miller, the flamethrower from Oakland. He's, I believe, plus 300. But a lot of system matches here on the Yankees. Favorite off a loss versus opponent off a win. Classic buy low, sell high. Yankees favored here. They lost last night. Those teams are 239 and 150, 61%, 5% ROI this year. Yankees are your third best chalk team in baseball. When the Yankees are favored, they're winning at a ridiculous rate, Patrick. They're 40 and 19, 68%, 14% ROI. And then also, system here, I kind of was digging up the other day, but two elite teams go head to head. So I defined elite by a win percentage of 600 or better would match here with the Yankees. Two elite teams take the favorite. Favorites in this spot are winning 60% of the time. Little cherry on top, Ryan Addison, the home plate ump. He's nearly 60% to the home team historically. So at first glance, it's like, hey, Orioles, good team, Patrick. Might as well take the plus money. But no, it looks like wise guys have really sided with the Yankees here. That's where I want to be. And it's good to see that Aaron Judge is in the lineup after he got a fastball on the hand about a couple days ago.
So two bets for the family. Dustin, we're going to lay a half a run first five with the Yankees, $130. And we're going to lay the juice with full game on the Yankees. Love that. And the reason that you know it's heel is because you're a big New England Revolution fan. That's your MLS team up in New England. And the Heel brothers actually play for the Revs, spelled G-I-L. Nacho, and I think it's Carlos Heel, play for the Revs. So as a big Boston guy, you already knew that. Now let's get to your conundrum. First, we should start with the idea. Larry, hit me with it if you could. We should start with...
We did it!
Jason Tatum. Good job, Larry. Look, I'm not going to championship shame you. And look, you've had just an embarrassment of riches in New England. The Bruins have been great. The Patriots, I think they've been pretty good for the past couple of decades. Even Paul Pierce won one with Kevin Garnett, obviously. The Revs, you know the story. This is the most... I don't know about the Celtic team as far as excitement. Where do you stand with Tatum doing the most awkward thing after the championship and your Boston Celtics?
So I'm high in the Celtics right now, Patrick. I think the question is, you know, is this sustainable and are we looking at a dynasty? Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves a little bit, but I think if you're a Celtics fan, what you're excited about is the age of your star players and their contract situation right now, because Jaylen Brown, I believe he's 27, Jason Tatum is 26. I mean, that's your dynamic duo. You just had Brown signed a max deal extension going beginning of last year. Tatum is about to get his max deal. You have Holiday locked up for the next couple of years. Derek White needs a new contract. But what was interesting to me, Patrick, when you bring up Jason Tatum, is really how the betting market got it wrong with Tatum as MVP. And really watching that game, you were seeing the live betting market get Jason Tatum MVP, finals MVP, late in the game, as high as minus 150. Tatum was putting up 30 points. Jaylen Brown had a bit of a quiet night. Even though Tatum, it seemed like everything was lined up for him. He got the post-game interview with Lisa Salters. The first commercial after the game was a Nike commercial starring Jason Tatum. Everything was lining up as Tatum's night in his coronation, yet the MVP goes to Jaylen Brown. So Brown had a great, I think he was their overall postseason MVP, but that was surprising to me. If you look at the stats, I know Brown was great defensively, but to me it was a surprise that Tatum didn't win MVP. So I think this is kind of a good thing moving forward, Patrick, because these guys have won all the awards. What can still motivate them? I think Jaylen Brown, it's becoming, you know, a first or second team all NBA. He hasn't done that yet. Tatum hasn't gotten the finals MVP yet. That's something to motivate him. So I think great spot here for Brad Stevens to keep this thing rolling. My only concern, Patrick, they're playing a lot of basketball over the last few seasons here. Jason Tatum and Jrue Holiday are now going to play for Team USA. Tatum, I think, could use a little bit of a break here. I know he's only 26, but my only question would be health, injuries, playing a ton of basketball. Other than that, I got no complaints. It took 5 years for a title, Patrick. That's a long time in New England.
Okay, well, if you do go to the parade tomorrow, I want to hear you screaming this. Hit me, Larry.
We did it!
That's so just a ripoff of anything's possible, KG, Patrick. I mean, you can't come up
with something which makes it
that.
Even. Which makes it even worse.
Hold on, did you guys see that he did even more ripping off later that day? I didn't see it till later. I think it was Wednesday night. Tuesday night, they had like after they had the trophy, they had a little party or whatever, and he grabs the mic and he starts doing the, what are they going to say if we didn't win one or whatever the shtick was LeBron did with the Heat. And it was just like, he literally is just ripping off everyone else's catchphrases.
Jason Tatum is AI. He's artificial intelligence. Like, there's nothing going on inside. Let's get to the conundrum. We'll bring the three of us up. So you've got a parade tomorrow, and you've got a buddy's wedding on Saturday. Is that correct?
That's correct, Patrick. And again, I can't drink like I used to, so how do I handle this weekend? I need some advice.
Okay. You just said it. It took 5 years to get to this point. It's not a question of should you go to the Celtics parade. It's I have to go to the Celtics parade. So that's number one. Number two, your buddy's wedding. Is it a good friend?
Close friend. I would say power ranking, probably like my fourth best friend, Patrick.
Okay.
It's a weird thing to do.
I think it's potential bailout possibility, if I'm being honest, on the wedding. Weddings are overrated. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. A big guy, just to answer the question, he's got to go to the parade, correct?
Yeah, you have to go to the parade, but I do think the wedding is a bailout. I think you're underestimating the fact that if you get drunk at the parade Friday, you only need a couple of drinks on Saturday to kick up what's already in your system to be feeling good. The hangover can be Sunday's problem.
I like that. You're planning ahead. I like
because
that, Dustin.
All that happens, you're going to feel awful when you wake up Saturday morning. We're just at that age. It's unavoidable.
Yeah, it's just a fact. So, this is factual.
But if you start drinking for the wedding earlier, you will feel better. You just have to like maintain like a very small dose of the alcohol throughout the day, and then you can go hard later and worry about it on Sunday.
Pretty good deal there. I would say also, guys, keep an eye out for, we're talking about going to Plain Ridge Park Casino the night before the wedding. A lot of the girls, you know, they got to get their makeup going. They want to get to bed early. Me and the boys, this is our last friend getting married, so it's kind of our last rodeo here. Might go to Plain Ridge Park Casino. Uber rides only 15 minutes from the wedding venue. Keep an eye out. We might be taking over that casino this weekend.
By the way, fourth best friend, he hardly even cares about the guy. Secondly, do you like his wife to be?
I love his wife to be. Amazing girl, super smart, Patrick. She, both of them, a little bit older in life, had a lot of, you know, hits and misses throughout the years, finally found each other. She's half Brazilian, so there's going to be a lot of Brazilian influence here. Could be a lot of fun, Patrick. Keep out on my
breaking
Instagram,
news. First, breaking news. First off, she's sitting on something. You know what I'm saying, Dustin?
Yes.
I just went from you bailing on the wedding to inviting me to the wedding with the Brazilians.
Yep. Patrick, they know how to party, man. Seriously, I need to get prepared.
Dude, I don't even have to ask if she's sitting on something. Woo! And by the way, when you say older, like, what do you consider old? Because you know I'm old.
Patrick, but you're definitely not old. You got the young baby face. You're aged like a fine wine, my man.
Hair of the dog on Saturday. Go to the wedding. Check out some Brazilians. VSiN betting analyst, all systems go as the podcast. Have fun at the parade, Josh. We'll talk to you next week. We did it.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. The Rockies did play two in the bottom of the six, so 5-2, our overs on life support. Maybe we'll get there. Middle seven, 5-2, Dodgers lead. The Orioles continue to mash, up 7-1 over the Yankees. A top three got runner on second and third with one out, so the Orioles got runners on second and third, big guy. Not looking great.
No, it has not been a banner day. It's not been a banner 48 hours for your boy over here betting baseball, we'll be honest with you.
You sound depressed about it.
I am. It's not going well. It's just not going well.
Okay. Well, we'll pick it up because we're going to be joined by our buddy. I think he just got off the call for Bally's. Jensen Lewis, of course, MLB Network on SiriusXM host. Bally's Sports, Cleveland analyst. He does the pre and post for the Guardians. At JLou50 on Twitter. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down if we're good to go with Jensen there, big guy.
We're all good to go.
Okay, great. Jensen Lewis joins us. Jensen picked up a W on the pre and post there, two straight over the Mariners. Welcome.
What's going on, boys? Great to be back with you.
Great to have you. Let's talk about the current state of your Guardians there. They are your fourth betting favorite, or, you know, right now, to come out of the American League, they're 7-1, your fourth betting favorite. And as far as overall, they are 14-1 to win the World Series. Give me your thoughts, overview on the Guardians right now.
Yeah, and thinking about it, you know, honestly, Patrick, when you could see where the early preseason numbers were, of course, a lot of focus in the American League going to be in that American League East and also in the American League West. But to think you could have had value on the Guardians at almost 70-1 to win the World Series before the season, I don't know if anyone would have been drawing anything more than pizza money on it, but it's a credit to Stephen Vogt, this entire coaching staff, of course, Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, for everything they've done that's put together. And then really the players. I mean, guys, it really has been fascinating to watch how this group, series in and series out, continues to execute at a pretty high level. And, you know, from a national perspective, there's probably not a ton of star power where people are associated with household names outside of Jose Ramirez, maybe Emmanuel Clase. But I think Stephen Kwan now has firmly cemented himself amongst the national talking points and headlines. I think Josh Naylor has put himself there as well. And now you got the supporting cast helping out offensively with Andrés Giménez, David Fry, Will Brennan had a couple of home runs today, and the league's best bullpen as far as the statistics go. So the ingredients are there through the first 2.5 months of the season, but as you guys well know, it's about running the marathon, getting through the finish line of the regular season, and then what do you do in October? So for the first time in probably the last 5 to 6 years, this could be as active a trade deadline for the Guardians as buyers that we've seen in quite some time.
Well, and can we talk about the way this team is doing it this year, Jensen? Like, this was a team known for its pitching and light hitting offense, and it's been a complete role reversal. Now they're mashing the ball, and the offense is picking up the pitching. And it's really been shocking to see. How surprised are you by that? And also, how is Jose Ramirez still 30-1 over at DraftKings for AL MVP? What is this team without him?
Yeah, you know, honestly, Dustin, I think you can even circle Stephen Kwan now as one of those dark horse long shot MVP candidates, because if he continues to hit anywhere near 400 after the All-Star break, it is going to be a sight to behold. But you're right. This is a team that is usually predicated off of dominant, deep starting pitching. We thought after two starts from Shane Bieber that, oh my God, 2020 Shane Bieber is going to be back. And unfortunately, the UCL injury ends up presenting itself and he's lost for the season. I don't know if we could have expected the rotation to kind of hold the line the way that it has, knowing that it's such a catastrophic injury from not only a talent perspective, but also what he means in that clubhouse on a day-to-day basis. And Tanner Bibee deserves so much credit for taking the reins and becoming the staff ace. I mean, he has been as good as any starting pitcher, especially the last couple of weeks. But then the offensive side, I think, is the biggest shocker. And really, for a team that was dead last in homers last year, guys, you know, I think they came into today 12th in the league, and they were a top 8 run scoring offense. That's been the difference maker from that standpoint. They've been able to slug. The OPS has been fantastic all year long. They've continued to run the bases and steal bases with relative ease, top 10 in that category as well. And a lot of this, too, is getting leads to their bullpen. I mean, they go about 6-7 arms deep down there for Stephen Vogt, and they have the best closer in the league right now in Emmanuel Clase. So it's really been a whole team effort and a difference of mentality from the offense to not just putting the ball in play, but really impact first. They've wanted to really be powerful with those swings and get results and do damage far more so than we've seen in the last couple of seasons.
Our buddy Jensen Lewis, the best. He just got off his pre and post with Bally Sports and the Guardians. He joins us. We love talking to Jensen. So I need your help. I have to ask you about Luis Gil. So we're all excited about the Yankees and Orioles, obviously, this series. And we wanted to get a bet in during the show, so we laid it with Gil. Like, you look at his previous start against Boston, essentially 9 quality starts in a row. Today, Jensen, he doesn't get through the second. 8 hits, 7 earned, and got bounced after an inning and a third. Like, as a bettor, should we have been looking for some regression, or do you just throw this one out?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of reasons why you would want to jump on that train and continue riding it and realizing that he's been as good as anybody, not just for the Yankee rotation, but in all of big league baseball. Basically, the month of May was an absurdity. And coming into today, what the Yankees had won, I believe, 9 straight starts that he had gone out and taken the mound. So hard to find any regression. I mean, at some point you would think, I mean, the only start this year where he really got roughed up, so to say, was in Milwaukee when I believe that was his final start in April, where he gave up 5 runs in 5 innings. Outside of that, guys, he's pretty much given up 2 or fewer in every other start except 2 of them. And you know, that's all you ask for from a starting pitcher is to go do that. So, no, I don't think anyone could have foreseen that. Credit where it's due, though. Baltimore needed a big offensive performance. They've gotten that today. But as we all know, hot weather in Yankee Stadium during a day game, guys, no lead is safe. So we'll see how that one ends up.
Yeah, you mentioned Baltimore. We're talking about pitchers regressing. What about pitchers getting hurt in the Orioles? So I want to ask you about what's gone on with them. They've lost 3 starters this year to Tommy John surgery. Is this to you an organizational problem? Is this just today's pitcher problem? Is this a lack of sticky stuff problem? Like, the Orioles have lost 3 key members of their rotation to Tommy John surgery, and you as a former pitcher, what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, Dustin, when you look at what Bradish, of course, is a huge loss for them, and John Means even coming back from injury this year and then having to go back and have the surgery again, it's such a gut punch for them. And, of course, this last year with Felix Bautista having TJ as well, their all-star closer, they were going to have to be in the business of finding ways to create a little bit more depth anyway with the uncertainty of some of those guys coming back from their injuries just last year. So now you kind of figure out that Mike Elias is going to be jumping on the phone, I would say, to probably the White Sox and asking what's going to take to get Garrett Crochet yes. and be as feared a 1-2 punch with Burns and Crochet and Grayson Rodriguez to fill out that third spot. You would envision that's what they'd run out there in an October playoff series. But to your original question, and this has been something I've tried to sound the alarm on for a couple of years, was there's going to have to be a bit of an audit, if you will, of the weighted ball programs, the drive line, you know, and someone who's gone through that program as far as, you know, the long toss and the weighted balls on just an initial level. I have an idea what it does just having gone through it, but the ramp up and some of the other things where guys are trying to create increases in velocity over a short period of time, the human body and specifically a pitching arm is just not designed physiologically to do that in a short amount of time. Now you can ramp it up over a season, you know, over a 6 to 8 month period. But if you're making astronomical gains in that short amount of time, to me, that's the big red flag. And unfortunately there's guys that have tried to go through certain aspects of that program and have had these Tommy John injuries. So not laying it at the feet of the driveline program in and of itself. There's a lot of things right now that are contributing to it. But I definitely believe that every organization is going to have to take a hard look at their in-season, off-season programs and make certain adjustments so that you can further, I think, curtail the increased probability of this happening year over year.
Jensen, I have 1 minute, so I'm putting you in a tough spot. As a former pitcher, explain what you're seeing from Paul Skeens.
must-see TV, boys. I mean, I was building patio furniture for his major league debut, and I had it on the garage because I was not going to miss it. I mean, this is otherworldly stuff, and for him, he's so good about his pitch-to-pitch routine. He's so good about his work days in between, keeping himself in great shape. And the guy came from the Air Force, fellas. You know that he's got a great background. You know he's got a great pedigree. He's going to do what he needs to have his body in tip-top shape. Sky's the limit, fellas. I'll tell you right now, if the Pirates make the postseason as a wild card team, watch out. Skeens, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller in a 3-game series, yikes. Would not want to be matched up against that.
Nobody's better than Jensen Lewis, longtime buddy. of course, MLB Network on Sirius XM. Bally's, he just got off the call there for a Guardians win at JLou50 on Twitter. Jensen, you're the best. Thank you.
You bet, boys.
Okay, there he goes. Jensen Lewis. Guy is a pro. Come back more with odds on the NBA draft, which is coming up next Wednesday. Then we got Kenny Danico talking puck. Sharp money. DraftKings, VSiN, the Esports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, spring special, sign up, $199, 13 months, vsin.com/subscribe. Unlock using the promo code SHARP. Okay, to say we have some juice in the Stanley Cup Final is an understatement. Tomorrow is going to be electric up in Edmonton, of course. The Oilers have forced a game 6, trail 3-2 in the series to the Panthers. I'm excited for this conversation. One of the greats, Mr. Devil himself, Kent Danico, is going to join us to discuss. NHL Network analyst, 3-time Stanley Cup champion, also calls the Devils game there on MSG. First off, it's a thrill to talk to you, Ken. Thank you for joining us. And those that don't know, did grow up in Edmonton, so we should start there. That barn is going to be buzzing, to say the least, tomorrow night.
Well, I will tell you, you're not in the building. You're in the mosh pit. And if you have no room there, you're at home and the TV is on. Everybody in Edmonton loves their hockey throughout Canada, as we know. So it is going to be nuts. I know my sister, I got her 2 tickets for the game. She's elated because she is a diehard Devils fan. She can't wait for game 6 tomorrow night. Should be electrifying. Well,
it's good to have a brother named Ken Danico if you're up in Edmonton. How did we get here? Okay, so 3 dominant games from the Panthers. You know, even strength, it does appear much better team. Then all of the sudden, you had that 8-1 on Saturday and then just an awesome performance the other night on Tuesday. How did we get here to game 6?
Well, I think the greatest player in the world put the Oilers on his back is basically what transpired. Yes, he got some support and help from the unlikely sources that you have to have this time of year, like a Connor Brown and Fogle and other guys along the way, and Stuart Skinner in net. The big question mark going in for a lot of people, where everybody thought Florida had the big advantage, they did in the first 3 games, even though Skinner, I thought, was okay. Bob was being Bob, and he was outstanding throughout the playoffs. And then the Oilers found a little wrinkle in there and were able to score a few goals on them late in that, or in the second half of game 3. And they haven't looked back. And McDavid, 8 points in the last 2 games. He's been miraculous. What else can we say about him? I mean, it shows his maturity, because you're demoralized down 3-0. I've been there. I've been on both sides of it. And just from experience, you have to find a way, and the great ones do, and he has really gone to, another level, if that is even possible, for the greatest player in the world, and Connor McDavid. He has just been outstanding, and right now, Bobrovsky has faltered a little bit. They have not as good in front of them, the Florida Panthers, and they've got to get back to that. And it's funny how we expect the unexpected, the unpredictable, but you didn't think you could shut down Connor McDavid an entire series. They had the first 3 games where he had 0 points. Well, not anymore with the 8 points in the last 2 games. And now we got ourselves a heck of a dogfight here the rest of the way.
We do. The great Kenny Danico joining us, progressive guest line here on Sharp Money. Let's focus on Bobrovsky and help us understand, Ken, the idea of a goaltender maybe getting in his head, feeling a little rattled. You mentioned he was exquisite through 3 games and the last 2, not so much. What will be the mindset of Bobrovsky going into game 6?
Well, look, you look at it 2 ways, in my opinion. You look at the Oilers, and I don't think they ever thought they were going to score a goal in particular after the first two and a half games where they'd had a total of three goals in the three games, and then all of a sudden Florida's up three goals, Oilers get a couple, even though it didn't add up to anything, they didn't get the win, and they lose, but they did get three goals in game three, and then all of a sudden, maybe they get a little confidence. Confidence is a funny thing, and they get a little belief that, okay, maybe we found a little edge here, maybe we know how to beat Bobrovsky. We might hear that. We usually do after a series. Have they found a weakness, whatever it may be? But in Bobrovsky now, all of a sudden, you know, you start questioning, you doubting. Guys don't play as positionally sound. That's what Florida's strength is, depth and their defensive structure, and obviously their heavy forecheck. And Edmonton has been able to expose it with stretch passes, getting outnumbered situations. But now they've found finish. Now they've been able to bury some of those good opportunities. And Bobrovsky hasn't bailed the Panthers out on this, on the last two games where he did all playoffs long when they needed it. So they got to play better in front of them. They got to get back to their game. I'm not saying Florida might not win game six. I predicted before the series it was going seven and Florida was going to win in seven. I may not be that far off just yet. It didn't look promising when they were down 3-0 or up 3-0, Florida was, and Edmonton was down 3-0. So now Bobrovsky just got to get everything out of his head, as the Panthers do. Go play a game. You'd probably take this. You use the cliche. If we said before the season we'd be up 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Finals, no matter how we got here, no matter what's gone on the last two games, go win a hockey game. That's why it's only been done once in history where a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit in the Stanley Cup Finals, and that was back in 1942 with the Toronto Maple Leafs, I believe. That's why it's never been done, because it is hard to beat a team four games in a row. The Oilers have some belief, no question, and their fans, but Bobrovsky, support him here, especially out of the start. First period, make him see the puck. Let him make some easy saves, get a feel, and get that confidence back.
So, Ken Danico, you're built a little different, but let's go to your scenario of a Game 7 down in Florida. If the Panthers go up tomorrow night and lose to the Oilers, talk about pressure coming back. Again, you're a little different. Let's not use you. But in that locker room, if it's now tied up at threes and we go back home to Florida, what will the Panthers be feeling?
Well, I won't sugarcoat the fact, yeah, there will be immense pressure on the Florida Panthers in particular, because you are up 3-0, and most of the hockey world, the media, predicted that the Florida Panthers were going to win the Stanley Cup. Because they're the deeper team, the better team, through and through. Although, I guess at times we forget again, when you have the greatest player in Connor McDavid, like the Edmonton Oilers do, that they do special things. He's done special things for two games. Can he do it again in game six? I happen to think just maybe it's going to go seven. And, yeah, Florida will feel that pressure. But it's one game, take all, and you have to block it out. I know it's easier said than done. But you have to just regroup and figure it out. You'll be at home if that happens, if Florida has to go back for a game seven in their building. And then it's one game, winner takes all. I usually take a quarter out of my pocket and flip it and call heads or tails. And that's what I feel about game sevens. A break, a bounce, a save, a post, whatever it may be, is the difference. The margin for errors. Very slim, and it's who executes better. And so we will see. But, yes, no question, if Florida loses game six, the pressure is on the Florida Panthers.
Ken, last question. We just have 2 minutes. And what else can be said about Connor McDavid? But I'm watching game five, and I'm like, what the hell am I watching? When he's downhill on his skates, it's almost like it's freakish. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And we've said so many superlatives about Connor McDavid throughout his career and things he does at high speed that we've never really seen in the game. I mean, look at that fourth goal and the setup for Corey Perry where there were four Panthers around him. Well, that started in the neutral zone, and the great ones in there, Wayne Gretzky, Mary Lemieux, you name it, during my time, these guys know what they're going to do. They have a plan when they had that puck at the red line. And Connor McDavid had a plan the whole way, and the edge work and the strength on the puck when guys are are draped all over him, and then to settle it down and get it across to Perry is remarkable, and that's why he is who he is, and he's a special player. But for him, I will tell you right now, and he may win the Conn Smythe, everybody's saying, even in a losing effort, which I never loved, regardless, he has been the best player in the playoffs, whether they win or lose. But he wants to win. He wants to win it all, and it's not going to mean nearly as much to him getting all these bats in the back if his team doesn't come all the way back here and win the Stanley Cup. But as a hockey fan in general with no horse in the race or skin in the game, he's just a treat and a pleasure to watch because that's what it's all about, watching great players do their thing. He's been doing it all playoffs.
Well, it's a treat to talk to you, Ken Danico, NHL Network analyst, three-time Stanley Cup champ, of course, MSG Network with the Devils. He is Mr. Devil. Enjoy the hockey. I hope your sister enjoys the game as well. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate the time.
Yeah. My pleasure. Great being on with you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Progressive guest line, Ken Danico. Let me just say this, big guy. If you told me as a Red Wings fan,
I know,
as a kid, that I'd be talking to Ken Danico as a 46-year-old man, I would have said, I would have been swearing at him.
No, you couldn't have handled it. You would have been too emotional.
We could, there were two teams. It was Colorado and New Jersey. And we didn't dislike the teams and the players. We hate, like, Ken Danico was enemy number one.
Well, and they were
because
all
because he was a tough SOB.
Yeah. They were tough, defensive. They had a great goalie in Brodeur. They didn't
ran that gross trap. I don't even want to talk about it. But what a guy.
He's awesome.
Family Biz next.